Thanks for tuning in to A Time of Hope with highlights from our services last Sunday at the California United Church of Christ. You're always more than welcome to be with us in person. Our church starts at 10:30 this morning. Sunday school is at 9:30. And we have a special time for children once a month, and that's this Sunday. After children's time during our regular worship, the kids go downstairs and have special activities and even a special snack. Thanks for listening.
Let's sing this hymn of praise. Please join together on the invocation. Lord, we have gathered here today to hear your word for us. We marvel at the witness of Moses, who received your call to liberate your enslaved people. We also struggle with the issues of safety and security that plagued Peter when Jesus set his sights on entering Jerusalem. Be with us this day, guiding our spirits and opening our hearts to hear your forgiveness and call to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. O Lord, open our lips.
Frederick has our morning scripture readings.
The scripture lessons this morning, we actually have three lessons. The first lesson is the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verses 33 to 40. Teach me, Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep thy law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of thy commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to thy testimonies and not to gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities and give me life in thy ways. Confirm to thy servant thy promise, which is for those who fear thee. Turn away the reproach which I dread, for thy ordinances are good. Behold, I long for thy perceptions in thy righteousness, give me life. The second lesson is from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in the heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about something they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Here ends the second lesson. The third lesson is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregations of Israel that on the 10th day of this month they shall take every man a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household, and if the household is too small for a lamb, then a man and his neighbor next to his house shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs in the evening. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat them. They shall eat the flesh that night roasted. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of its raw or boiled with water, but roasted its head and with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall fall upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations you shall observe it as an ordinance forever." Here ends the third lesson.
Becky Snyder's special music is a clarinet solo, "Shall We Gather at the River?"
Thank you.
Dr. Matheny's sermon is entitled Love in Action.
Thank you, Becky. Each Sunday, Don and I drive out to Salem Church, and we always enjoy the beauty of the countryside as we are driving out there. It reminded me of time there were two dairy cows standing out in the pasture eating. And as they were standing there, a big dairy truck passed by. Just went right by. And I don't remember the name of the milk company, but it said so-and-so milk, homogenized, pasteurized, and vitamin D added. And the one cow turned to the other and said, makes you feel sort of inadequate, doesn't it? We really enjoy seeing cattle. It's not something we see very often where we live there in Albuquerque. As I was getting ready for this Sunday, I was reminded that when I graduated from seminary and was called to my first church in Emporia, Kansas, it was right during this time. And so my first sermon was on Labor Day Sunday. Now remember, you know, I didn't have any of my books or anything that, you know, I'd packed up to move. Somehow it got delayed or something. And so I really had to scramble to try to come up with something that was helpful during this Labor Day weekend. So a lot of good memories. We are now in our third lessons from the Romans chapter 12. We've had two sermons already, and this is the third. And as I was preparing the message, I thought, how long would it take you to preach through the whole Bible? A long time, because there are so many wonderful teachings in the Old and New Testament that it's so good to hear and to think about and to pray about and to try to live out in our lives from day to day. So we've come to the third series of lessons, and they're found in verses 9 through 13. And this is what Paul says. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. These verses are talking about authentic love. And so let's look at them together and see what Paul is wanting to share with us and how we can apply them in our lives. He starts, first of all, verse 9, he says, love must be sincere. The word that Paul uses for love is the highest form of God's love and our love. There are different words in the New Testament talking about love, but this is the word that is used as the highest form of love. And authentic and sincere love is never false or hypocritical. It's the true thing. And I couldn't help but remember what he wrote in 1 Corinthians. These words we often read during wedding ceremonies, but they're really supposed to be applied to our lives all the time. And this is what he says. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Things that are often difficult to live out in our daily lives. And yet, all of us know real love when we see it and when we experience it. We can tell when the person is not authentic, not sincere in their expression of love. And so let's always strive to have our love be sincere and authentic. And then he says, hate what is evil. And I think Paul is wanting us to recognize that there are things and people that harm others, that are destructive to us and to our community. I think of the terrible time of slavery, of ethnic cleansing in different places in the world, especially on the continent of Africa. This last week, Don and I saw one of our Hallmark films, and it was about people in Nazi Germany during the war and how they struggled to survive and how families were separated and all the terrible things that happened during those years. That's evil. That is harm. And we're told to hate those things. Things that are against God's love and God's character and God's purpose for all of us. These are things that we should always hate. Then he says, hate evil, but cling to what is good. To always be in our life, have an attitude of rejoicing and always participating in those things that are good and that are true. Cling to those things in the midst of the up and down of life. What is good? What is moral? What is helpful? Clinging to things that are good for each of us. Then he goes on and says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. What he's talking about is the kind of love that we have in families, the kind of warmth and kindness and love that are part of families that we live in and grow up in, a special kind of a relationship that we have with our families like no other kind of relationship. This kind of love, we're to be devoted to one another so that it can be that kind of a place that brings about wholeness and life. Then he says, honor one another above yourselves. It kind of echoes what he talked about in the first part of Romans, where he talked about not being proud, not being deceitful, not being self-centered. He said, instead, show respect for others. Give others priority. And example of that would be on the 13th in our community, we are honoring veterans and people in our community which serve us in different ways. We honor them. We recognize them for their accomplishments and the things that they are and have done. Then he says, never lacking in zeal. I couldn't help but think of Paul as a wonderful example of someone who was diligent and committed totally to serving God and helping others. We are to be diligent in our spirituality and our seeking after those things which bring about wholeness and life and freedom. This is what zeal toward God and others is. Then he keeps going and says, be joyful in hope. Be people who are always hopeful because we know that God is with us. God will never leave us. The future is in God's hands. We are to be people of hope in the midst of whatever situation comes into our lives and into our world. We are called to be people of hope. And then he said, be patient in affliction. And that's not always easy to do, is it? When we suffer in some way, it's not easy to be patient in the midst of all that. But Paul said, with God's help, we can find that kind of patience even in the time of difficulty. Then he said, be faithful in prayer. And that's something that we all know that we should do. But I think we sometimes don't realize that we can pray throughout the day, wherever we go. We don't have to be sitting down at home or somewhere or in church. We can be aware that God is with us everywhere we go. And as we're driving along, we can offer a prayer of praise or of petition, whatever it might be, throughout the day, wherever we are. We can have this kind of a prayerful attitude that is pleasing to God and helpful to us. And then he says, share with God's people in need. And we know that is important. And I think all of us do that. From what I've seen, our church is very generous in its giving to the people of our church, the community. I found out when I came that each month one of the pastors in town is responsible for providing assistance to people who come for different needs, housing, electric bills, all kinds of different things. And although we can't always provide all that is necessary, we help whoever comes. We do not turn them away. And so we always should have this attitude of sharing with people in need, giving of ourselves and our finances, whatever it might be, to people in need. And then finally, he says, practice hospitality. I looked up the definition of hospitality, and it is making others feel safe, welcome, deeply valued in each situation. And there, the golden rule of hospitality is treat others the way that you would want to be treated. That makes sense. And I can testify, I'm sure you can too, of instances in my whole life where I have experienced wonderful hospitality. And I think that's one of the things that each church should always practice and be aware of, not only in welcoming people into the church and its life, but also offering hospitality to each person that we meet, to welcome strangers into our home or people that we don't know as well, or whatever the situation is, to welcome them, to extend to them a real genuine hospitality and welcome. I can't overemphasize how important that is and what that means to people who are welcomed in that kind of a way. It is so vital. So I hope that you'll think about these things that Paul shared with us today, all these things. Maybe read over them again at home and see in what way they're part of your life and how you can better do them. Next week, I'll be closing out this chapter, and I hope it's been helpful for you. When we get to chapter 13, we're going to look at some very controversial teachings, at least in our day, about government and what that means to us. So I hope you'll look forward to that. Would you pray with me in these moments? Oh God, we thank you for this opportunity to be together as a church family. And we thank you for the love and the hospitality that is a part of our church and all of its members. Sometimes perhaps we take for granted how wonderful it is to be welcomed and to be a part of a loving fellowship. And so we're thanking you for that today and are praying that whatever needs there are in our congregation, you would be there with them in this time and in the time to come, comforting, encouraging, expressing your forgiveness and love in different ways. And so we are thanking you and giving you praise today and always. We pray this in the name of our wonderful Savior. Amen.